Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
The Czech government has declared a state of emergency in response to the coronavirus epidemic. The number of coronavirus cases has now reached 94, with two patients in serious condition. And the Czech Foreign Ministry has advised Czechs visiting the United States to return home. The Czech government has declared a state of emergency in response to the coronavirus epidemic. Following a five-hour government session on Thursday, Prime Minister Andrej Babiš announced extensive measures to fight the spread of the virus. A special regime will be introduced on the country's borders with Austria and Germany from midnight on Friday. Under those restrictions, people will only be able to enter or leave Czech territory via 11 border crossings. Foreigners from high-risk countries will be banned from entering the country, and Czech nationals will be prohibited from travelling to high-risk destinations. Foreigners will not be able to enter the Czech Republic from Germany and Austria. The Interior Ministry will stop issuing all visas until further notice. Czechs abroad will be able to return to the Czech Republic. Those in high-risk areas will be automatically quarantined. Pubs and restaurants will be closed as of Friday from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. Gyms, swimming pools and other sports facilities, clubs, galleries and libraries will also be closed, as well as eateries in shopping malls. In addition, the Czech police are now being deployed to check whether people who have been ordered into quarantine are staying indoors. Among the more than 1,000 people quarantined are two Czech senators who recently undertook a trip to Italy. The number of confirmed cases of the coronavirus in the Czech Republic has now reached 94, with 31 new cases registered on Wednesday alone. Cases have now been recorded in all regions of the country. Prague has the highest number, with 48 cases so far. Two of the patients are in serious condition. One of them is on a life support machine. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs has advised Czech nationals currently visiting the United States to consider returning home as soon as possible in view of the U.S. administration's decision to ban EU nationals from entering the country for a period of 30 days. The decision was announced on Thursday morning, Central European time, in connection with the coronavirus pandemic. The ministry advised Czech nationals to check their flight bookings, since some flights to Europe could be restricted or cancelled. The government has dismissed the country's chief hygiene officer, Eva Gottwaldová. There have been speculations surrounding her possible dismissal since the Chamber of Deputies approved an amendment to the law on public health protection, which states that the post must go to a specialist in the field of hygiene. Gottwaldová, who is a nutrition specialist, will be temporarily replaced by Jarmila Rážová, head of the Central Bohemian Hygiene Office. Czech health unions have warned that a coronavirus epidemic will worsen the personnel crisis in many hospitals, which were suffering from a lack of doctors and nurses even before the ongoing health emergency broke out. Doctors and nurses unions have pointed to a shortage of respirators in many facilities and say that quarantine measures as well as the closure of schools will result in a further cutback in staff. Hospitals say that ideally every patient entering a medical facility should be handed a face mask in order to protect staff and other patients. The health minister said in response to the call that 200,000 respirators would be available on Friday and tens of thousands more coming every week. The air carrier Smartwings and Czech Airlines have announced that people flying with them can rebook their flights without any sanctions. The decision pertains to any flights between March 13th and June 30th. Other airlines have adopted a similarly benevolent approach in view of widespread measures and restrictions in fighting the coronavirus. In the past few weeks, airlines have cancelled hundreds of flights in connection with the coronavirus health emergency. Meanwhile, many primary and secondary schools have started communicating with pupils online, offering online lessons, testing and homework. Education Minister Robert Plaga has welcomed the initiative in view of the fact that schools are expected to remain closed for at least a month within measures to curb the spread of the virus. One Prague school has launched a campaign in support of online classes and is sharing ideas and offering advice on how this can best be handled. Experts say this health crisis will test schools' preparedness for IT communication. communication in education. And finally, in view of the spread of the coronavirus, Czech e-shops are no longer taking payments in cash, the CTK news agency reported. Couriers leave the deliveries outside people's doors so as to avoid coming into direct contact with clients. Košík, Rohlík, Tesco and Dáme Jídlo have all posted the announcement on their web pages. Rohlík says it is preparing a solution for older clients who are used to paying in cash. And a quick look at the weather forecast. Friday should be partly cloudy with scattered showers and day temperatures between 6 and 10 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Radio Prague International with me, Tom McEncrone. Today, how are Czech parents coping with children forced to stay at home from school because of the coronavirus measures? The 13th of March 1950, when propaganda and pub brawl put defending world ice hockey champions Czechoslovakia so-called on the ice, and later the film Painted Bird cleaned up at the Czech Line Awards last weekend, and we meet the man who created its special Inter-Slavic language. All that coming up, so please stay with us. All primary and secondary schools around the Czech Republic closed for an indefinite period on Wednesday in an attempt to contain the spread of the new coronavirus, leaving thousands of children at home. So, how will the measure affect their parents? And how will schools deal with the task of providing long-distance learning? Well, Ruth Frankova looked into the story.
While most children rejoice at the prospect of staying at home, many Czech parents are struggling to find someone to look after them while they are at work. Not every parent can work from home or take nursing care leave. The situation is especially difficult for low-income families and single parents, as well as for medical workers who are very much in demand these days. Karin Tausik, a Prague-based doctor with two daughters, says her family is dealing with the situation as it comes.
Sometimes in these days, I tried to rearrange the schedule and to be in the afternoon at work, and my husband is coming then earlier. My kids, for example, are 9 and 10, so they can be a little bit alone at home, like 2-3 hours, but of course not too long. We don't have relatives here in Prague, unfortunately. Sometimes we have a lady who comes here to clean, so she might come. So we're kind of trying to lift from one day to another.
Although Mrs. Tausik could take nursing care leave for up to 9 days, she says in her case it is not really an option.
I mean, it could be possible, but of course, like, I'm a GP, so the GPs are right now really very much needed, and I think that it wouldn't be really fair to my colleagues. So I didn't think of this idea, even though that I know about it, but right now I didn't think about it. We're trying to find some other solution.
While parents are struggling to find someone to look after their kids, schools around the country are facing the challenge of maintaining the learning process uninterrupted. Czech-Canadian Linda Bughardt teaches English at a private primary school in Prague's Kunratice district.
So we've already started to create a sort of a protocol because, as you said, it's an indefinite amount of time. So we have to act right away. And we've been in meetings these past few days, brainstorming ideas and platforms that will be both effective for teachers and user-friendly for our students.
Ms. Bughardt, who teaches children between the ages of 6 and 11, says she prefers online platforms which enable her to stay in direct contact with her students and delivering a similar kind of education they are used to at school.
In our curriculum, we're focusing on teaching the children how to communicate verbally in English. So one of the platforms we are looking at using is Microsoft Teams. This way it allows me as the teacher to be on a video call with hopefully all the students present and deliver a lesson in real time. It's not going to be the exact same kind of education we can give children in the classroom. But I'm sure that they'll come out of this with a very unique experience, as will the teachers, and perhaps we will include some more e-learning in our curriculum in the future.
And that was Ruth Frankova's story right there. Now, Czechoslovakia had arguably the best national ice hockey team in the world for years after the Second World War, despite the communists sidelining several politically unreliable star players on the road to building socialism. Brian Kennedy looks back now at the roots of a historic pub brawl and police raid 70 years ago, after frustrated hockey players blew the whistle on official lies.
The Czechoslovak national team won the world championships in 1947 at home in Prague, and despite the tragic death of six players in a plane crash over the English Channel, captured their second world title in 1949 in Stockholm. But in 1950, instead of defending their title in London, most of the team were drinking at the Uherlitsku pub in Prague's new town. The players had gathered at their favorite haunt on Pštrosova Street on 13 March 1950, opening day of the World Championships, to celebrate the birth of a teammate's son, but mainly to drown their sorrows at having been barred by the communist authorities from traveling to the West to defend their title. Unbeknownst to the frustrated and increasingly rowdy players, state security agents were also in the pub, waiting for an excuse to intervene. Augustin Bubnik, the highest-scoring player of the time, recalled the scene for the Memory of the Nations project, of which Czech Radio is a partner.
We trickled in one by one. When we were all finally there, suddenly we hear on the radio, at about 7:15, presenter Edmund Kokal explaining to the whole nation how the hockey players were so enlightened they did not fly to London for the championship.
In fact, they'd been forced to sign a proclamation stating that they had forfeited of their own free will after Britain refused visas for reporters from Czechoslovak radio, a bogus claim on both counts, repeated on air.
That got us really angry. Me and Vašek Rozeniak, we phoned into the radio right from the pub. We phoned Kokal and told him, look, Mr. Kokal, if you want to know the truth, meet us here on Pštrosova Street. He said, boys, I'm not going anywhere.
The truth was that the communists were afraid players might defect en masse in England, as a handful had done in previous years. Some players suspected that, in fact, the Soviets had wanted them out of competition, and the Stalinist Czechoslovak hardliners sold out their countrymen to please Moscow. Augustin Bubnik again.
We swore at the regime, at the establishment, and at Kopetsky, the then Minister of Information, that we wouldn't let them clip our wings, that we want to be free, and every now and then Vašek or I would run outside onto the square and shout stuff. When the pub was absolutely roaring, suddenly two men got up from their table and grabbed me and Vašek and said, you're coming with us.
Outside the pub, a scuffle broke out. The agents pulled out their guns, and police waiting in a van on the square swarmed in, arresting nine players on the spot. 8 months later, Augustin Bubnik, Vašek Rozeniak, and their teammates were tried behind closed doors on charges ranging from assaulting a state police officer and slandering the Republic to planning to leave the country illegally, sedition, and espionage. Bubnik got 14 years in prison, including hard labor in the notorious uranium mines of Yakimov. Rozeniak got 10 years, and goalie Bohumil Blue Modri, 15. Eight other players got sentences ranging from 8 months to 12 years. It was not until the Prague Spring reform of 1968 that the champions of 1949 were finally rehabilitated.
Brian Kennedy with that story. Moving on, the film The Painted Bird cleaned up at the Czech Line Awards last weekend. And in this final part of our programme, we meet Vojtěch Merunka, the man who created the film's special inter-Slavic language.
Jest to gorsze. To je mnie żalosno. Blagodariu tobie za twoje przedłużenie.
One of the most striking aspects of director Václav Marhol's new film, The Painted Bird, is the language spoken in it. The characters communicate in Interslavic, or Međuslavjanski, an artificial language combining elements from several Slavic languages that fits with the World War II story's unspecified East European setting. Interslavic has in large part being developed by academic Dr. Wojciech Marunka, who was closely involved in the movie. When we spoke, I first asked him about earlier attempts to create a Slavic lingua franca.
It is a very long story. First, zonal constructed language for Slavic family of languages, we believe, has been invented in the 9th century, early medieval, by brothers Cyril and Constantinus, who also invented Slavic alphabet. This is our history, Great Moravian Empire, and so on and so on. And they also created something artificial, because Slavic peoples did not have any written and any language being able to express some abstract terms and some terms related to religion, Christian religion, and so on. So we believe that it was first and very successful attempt. Next, during the evolution of national languages in late medieval, were several attempts to create some common language, because local Slavic languages still have big or high, they have proximity.
So a lot of words have the same roots. Yes, but only basic words.
But it was still feeling that some one little step more should be enough for building some common interlanguage tool for communication. First attempt or idea has been written by Jan Amos Komenský, Czech.
Of course, you're known as Comenius.
Yeah, Comenius is famous, but full book, grammar, and also vocabulary was a bit later by Jurij Križanič, Croatian Press. It was also in the 17th century. And other attempts, if I well remember, in total, it was about 60 or 70 independent projects.
How does the Interslavic that you have created take the whole concept forward?
All these people were only independent inventors without feedback of community. No community, only some invention, some crazy man who had an idea and published a book and nothing. We also start like this. 10 years ago, I started my own private project, Neo-Slavonic, like modernization of old church Slavonic. And later, other communities, the most important was a community of around Dutch linguist Jan van Steenbergen. This community created a very similar language, but on different principle, Slovansky. And we recognized we have 95% the same project. We connected, and 3 years before, we merged our projects together, and this is start of Interslavic. Our Interslavic language has strong feedback and also is approved by practice, by community. We have about 3,000 people.
Probably like many people, I first heard about Interslavic in connection with the movie The Painted Bird. Why did the director, Václav Marhol, why did he approach you to ask about using Interslavic in his film?
He knew he must not to use any real local language. Because if you read a book, this is a secret where it was. If Poland or Belarus or Ukraine, and also borders of these lands moved before war and after war. So it might be also in Slovakia or everywhere or Balkan or nobody knows. It was the intention of the author of this novel, because if somebody will point exactly at only one concrete nation, the others could say, we not, but only those look at them, etc. So he knew he must use some artificial, unknown language, but also some real natural language, nothing artificial like Esperanto or some very artificial language. Sound must be real. And he opened Google and he entered two keywords, Slavic Esperanto.
And
my book I published 1 year before, my book appeared.
In the film, it's not just the dialogue that's in Interslavic, it's also posters,
exactly.
Newspapers.
Exactly, exactly. It is misinterpretation from my perspective that this movie has only 9 minutes of talk. This is not true. 9 minutes is total time when you see translation in subtitles. But in other situations, which are not exactly important, but they are required for making atmosphere, for example, fishing at river or street market, all these situations are very wordy. But you cannot see any translation. You just see only some sound, people is talking over 1 second and so on. This everything is in Interslavic. Because we really, in the dubbing studio, in a sound studio, we worked 2 months and we put Interslavic into mouth of all people who worked only some little second somewhere. Everything was, and also backdrops and texts, of course, because Český Krumlov has been absolutely redesigned for War City.
How was it working with these Hollywood stars like Harvey Keitel and Julian Sands and coaching them in speaking Interslavic?
First, I need to say that I was in physical deep contact only with Mr. Harvey Keitel, because the other actors, international actors, first, are very well-educated people, are able to read phonetic alphabet, different alphabets, not only Latin, but also Cyrillic, etc. And it was not hard for them to read Interslavic. And one member of our filming team, David Tomášek, helped them because he had a radio contact during filming to these actors, and actors did have invisible ear device and helped actors to speak. But Mr. Harvey Keitel speaks a lot in this film, and also he did not know he will speak Interslavic. I don't know why, maybe by event or by some mistake, he was perfectly prepared, but in English. And when he went to Český Krumlov city for filming, now he recognized, oh, I need to speak in some language which I do not know and do not understand, etc. And it was a big problem. I was called from Prague directly. It was alarm. And I went to Český Krumlov and I spent a whole day with Mr. Harvey Keitel. I explained the history of this language and background, that it is artificial but zonal and has some real background, and all endings and all word roots are natural. Nothing is artificial. So he studied it, and I very appreciate also his education, because he also knows international phonetic alphabet, including Helwang triangle. It is some theory how to pronounce vowels. It is science. It is not common. By the way, Czech actors have no knowledge about it.
The language, of course, already existed, but I understand that you had to create special new words.
Yeah, only a few, but very essential.
Why was that?
Because we are writing. We have journal in this language. This language is living. We have big community. But film is full of emotion. And if there is some drunk man, for example, he cannot say just you, boy.
One problem you guys had was that swear words, bad language, tends to be different in the different Slavic languages.
Any nation has own culture. And if some ugly word will be pronounced in some way, everybody will understand, oh yeah, it is Polish. It is not Russian, it is Polish. And Russian, not Polish, etc., etc., etc. Excuse me, listeners, but a bitch, for example. Bitch. Yeah. So I cannot say kurva, and I cannot say suka, because it is typical. Kurva is Western, it is our Czech and Polish, and suka is Eastern. We need to say both. Mixture. because if you say mixture, everybody understands at least one half, but still is confused where it is from.
What was the word you went with?
We created fully artificial merzavets. It is like a bad boy, like Parchant or something like that. But it is also derived by real grammar endings from real verb. Because mrzeti is real verb. And we derived artificially, but using natural endings, grammar endings, new word.
Maybe this is a silly question, but I presume for the Czech actors in The Painted Bird, speaking Intraslavic was very easy.
Slovak and Polish actors as well. But problem is that language is so similar that they started to mix Czech accent and Czech words into this language, because when you speak in this language some time, you lose border between languages, because there is some intersection. And actors were asked for dubbing, change of sound in mixed studio, themselves. Same actor.
Just to make it perfect.
Exactly. Just to say it perfect in Interslavic.
I guess for you, people who are enthusiasts for Interslavic, The Painted Bird is the best thing that ever happened to you guys.
Yes, but all people who already invented very similar languages, like our language, tried to create some Pan-Slavic culture, tried to write novels in this artificial language, and tried to describe history, mythical history, ancient, far, medieval, etc. And they tried to make something which did not exist. We are not oriented to the past. We do not want to translate Bible. We do not want to translate big novels, because we know that some novel must be in Polish, if Polish author, or Russian, if Russian, etc., or Serbian, if Serbian. This is not language for the art. It was a very good opportunity to spread information about Interslavic using this film, but we are not creating some art. Yeah? We want to use it to the future for business, for everyday life of normal, ordinary people. Tourists, for example, because middle-aged tourists like me, elder people, do not speak perfect English. And if somebody from Poland or from Czechia or Slovakia is going to the sea in summer, Croatia, for example, why to speak in English? All information materials, everything, can be written in Interslavic, and it is much better. I have one motto or something. The best way to predict the future is to invent it. Yeah, and we are doing it. We are oriented to the future. Practical life.
That interview, conducted by Ian Willoughby with Wojciech Merunka, was first broadcast in September last year, around the time that The Painted Bird came out. But for now, from me, Tom McEncrow, and everybody here at Radio Prague International, thanks for listening, folks. Speak to you soon, and stay safe.